Worm Noir by Antonio Rastelli. They call this the city of tears, lost dreams and lost teeth. The city of Jack. Bernice's voice was stern. She marched past Braxiatel to where Jack was standing, wearing a stupid-looking fedora. A fedora which Bernice frankly thought looked awful on him. Her head was pounding, and for once, not because of her questionable relationship with booze. The room they were in was small and stank of cheap alcohol and tobacco. It reminded Bernice of a number of student dorms she'd known. The smell fitted, the size fitted. The only thing that was different was the furnishings. A small, solitary desk, a chair, and a filing cabinet filled the room. She stared out of the window at the vista below her, showing a Legion city that wasn't quite the same one she had finally, sort of, grown to tolerate. Jack shifted uncomfortably. "Oh, come on, Benny, lighten up. It's fun, isn't it?" "Fun? Fun? It's bloody raining inside a dome." Bernice looked at the cadetian with a mix of exasperation, shock, and plain old tiredness. "What is the point of a fancy hologram cube that takes you to an exact replica of where you already were and just adds water?" Jack turned and dropped his fedora on the stained oak desk with a sigh and shrugged at Braxiatel. Braxiatel shrugged in reply as if to say, "Well, it was your idea. You've really done it this time." He cleared his throat in that particular way Braxiatel did, as if to announce to the universe that he was finally ready to be heard and that everyone should stop and be grateful for what he was about to say. "Now, Bernice, if you would please calm down, think of your..." Bernice shot him a glare. "My what, Brax? My what, exactly?" Braxiatel shifted uncomfortably. "Irving, please, Bernice. How many times do I need to tell you?" "All right, Irving. My what, then?" Raising his hands in defence against Bernice's growing agitation, he whispered, "Blood pressure?" That was it. The last straw had been officially pulled. In a flash, Bernice grabbed the fedora and lobbed it full force at Braxiatel's face. "All right, all right," Braxiatel quickly dodged and turned to Jack. "I think it's time we ended this little charade. Let's get back to the White Rabbit." He waved a lordly hand around the shabby room, as if he were hoping that would be enough to make it disappear. "We haven't actually left the White Rabbit, of course," said Jack. "Of course," said Braxiatel magnanimously. Jack smiled sheepishly. "Thing is..." Both Bernice and Braxiatel were now looking at Jack expectantly. "I don't know how to switch it off." A sudden spike of pain ran through Bernice's head. "You what? You mean you plugged that thing into Legion's power grid and you didn't even read the instructions?" "Well, I would have read the instructions if it had come with any." Jack was being smug now, which caused Bernice's hackles to rise. "Jack, where exactly did you purchase this device from?" Braxiatel's voice reminded Bernice of someone luring their prey to their death. Now Jack was getting nervous.
"Galbe, I mean, it was a bargain. I guess I hadn't heard of this model before."
"What were you thinking?"
"Well, it was something like, ooh, the Wonderbox 3000, that sounds pretty modern. You can't go wrong with something called a Wonderbox."
"I see." Braxiatel's voice was dangerously silky.
"And I thought we could do with an upgrade to the Rabbit. Everybody loves a hologram cube."
"Upgrade?" Braxiatel sounded personally insulted. "I'll let you know that on Galaxy Advisor we have a 5-star rating." Bernice was distracted by the sudden appearance of a typewriter on the small desk. Had it always been there? She could have sworn the desk had been bare when they first arrived. It was one thing getting sucked into a second-hand hologram cube, Bernice thought. I mean, sure, it might even be fun, but not so much when you're stuck with Tweedledee and Tweedledum. She walked to the typewriter, where a solitary piece of paper was threaded through. She read the one word written out loud. Bang! With an almighty explosion, the wooden door leading out of the office, that no one had really taken any interest in until now, exploded into flying fragments. There was an almighty crack as Bernice hit her already pounding head into the wall and then, mercifully, unconsciousness embraced her. There was nothingness for what felt like an eternity, and then there was a solitary drop of rain. It hit the ground, which rippled. Then another, and another followed until it was pouring down. All around Bernice, the world of darkness began to shimmer into light, into existence, almost like a mirage. It wasn't the same as before, though. No office, no legion, no Jack or Braxiatel. It was alien and it was beautiful. The very air itself shimmered with colour through the rainfall. Now this was more like the sort of experience you'd like to get from your hologram cube, she thought. Bernice stood at the bottom of the temple. Wait, how did she know this was a temple towering over her? Slowly, figures began to solidify out of the rain. It was as if they were shimmering into existence. Kneeling before the temple doors, hundreds, no, thousands of them kept their heads low and their faces hidden. Slowly, one figure stood upright, his face streaked with dirt and blood. He was looking directly at Bernice. "Hello, my name's Bernice Summerfield," she said uncomfortably. Her voice echoed as if it was a broken record on repeat. The figure said nothing, just continued to look blankly at Bernice. "You don't think you could help me get back to Legion City, do you?" From the corner of her eye, Bernice noticed just the slightest movement in the crowd. A reaction, perhaps? The solitary standing figure in the crowd slowly raised his arm and pointed to the sky. And that was when Bernice saw it. And when it saw Bernice. It was huge, dominating the entire sky, 1,000 eyes all staring down towards Bernice. She stumbled backwards. "Oh, bugger, bugger, bugger!" The solitary figure screamed as the previously kneeling figure suddenly stood and began wrestling him to the ground. The creature with 1,000 eyes began to laugh. And that was when Bernice woke up. Jack regained consciousness first. The room was a mess. The door had literally exploded inwards, knocking everyone off their feet. He must have hit his head because the pain running through it was excruciating. The last thing he remembered seeing was three tall, well-groomed men who had waltzed into the room before the dust had even settled. They had picked up the unconscious Braxiatel and waltzed back out. There had been something odd about the men, Jack thought. What was it? Oh, yes. None of them had had a face, just a swirling distortion where a face should have been. Heaving himself up, Jack arched his back. He wasn't sure how long he'd been out of it, or how long Braxiatel had been gone. "Well, Jackie boy, you've really done it this time," he muttered. "Ruth's going to kill you when she finds out." "Ruth won't have to kill you. I'll happily do it for you." Bernice was lying face down on the wooden floor, a piece of door sitting neatly on top of her. Rushing over, he yanked the debris off and checked her for damage. She coughed.
"Well, I'm glad you still have that get-up-and-go attitude, Benny."
"Can it, Jack? And help me up." Jack lifted Bernice to her feet, and together they surveyed the devastation.
"Next time you decide to improve the rabbit, Jack, don't. In fact, when we get out of here, if," Jack interrupted, "when we get out of here, Jack, I'm going to personally delete your Galbay account. Where's Brax?"
Jack explained what he'd seen, and before he knew it, Bernice had dragged him through the ruined door and into a bleak stairwell. The whole building was eerily quiet.
"Guess the experience doesn't include, actual people," said Jack.
"Or," Bernice mused, "we're just in an empty building."
"Come on, we need to find Brax. And a way out of this thing."
The first five floors weren't a problem. In fact, the adrenaline caused by the running helped mask Bernice's headache. It was only when they reached the 7th floor that she started to feel tired, although the last thing she wanted to do was sleep. She couldn't get the bizarre dream out of her head.
"Oh, how much further?"
Jack moaned. Bernice sighed. "With all the things we get up to, you think we'd be fitter. We really should go to a gym."
"Gym? Never heard of him. Besides, I think your son would have a fit."
"Why?" Bernice panted. "Well, there's only one in Legion City, and when he's not in the office, he's there, you know, lifting those weight things." By the time Bernice and Jack had reached the ground floor, Braxiatel must have gained consciousness as they heard him protesting loudly about being dragged down an alleyway. The rain was a welcome relief after all the running. It turned out that they had been in one of the grottier high-rises that dotted Legion City. Running down its 20 flights of stairs was not on Bernice's "let's do it again sometime soon" list.
"Next time," Jack panted, "next time we use a lift."
"Yeah, we need to find one that works first." Bernice was doubled over, breathing in the cool air.
"You know, this setup is really familiar. I just can't place it."
There was a sudden crash down the street, the sound of a rubbish bin being kicked. Bernice looked at Jack, then back at the alley and shouted, "Come on!" They reached the alleyway just in time to see the protesting head of Irving Braxiatel being shoved into the back of what looked to Bernice like an old-style limousine.
"Oh, come on, this is getting ridiculous," Bernice said.
"Jack, have you ever seen those old movies where..."
"Not the time, Benny."
Their appearance had not gone unnoticed. One of the three large figures standing by the car turned, and before Bernice could finish what she was saying, she was hurtling to the ground as Jack pushed her out of the way of a hail of bullets. They crouched, panting and soaked, as bullets ricocheted off the wall that gave them cover.
"But Jack, they're dressed like they're from a gangster film."
The person shooting at them, or thing, Bernice thought, as she suddenly noticed that it had a swirling mass for a face, was dressed in a pinstripe suit, and it looked exactly like it had been taken straight out of an old Earth holovid, gun included.
"What?"
Jack obviously had no idea what Bernice was talking about.
"The suit? The gun? It's like..."
She stopped as a ray of pain shot through her head. Jack was in full sarcasm mode.
"Benny, have I told you how much I enjoy getting shot at?"
"Repeatedly, but let me remind you that this is technically all your fault."
"Okay, well, you have a point there."
The door of the limousine slammed shut, and the engine began to rev.
"We've got to save Brax," said Bernice.
Slowly, she glanced around the wall, then ducked back again as another round of bullets hit the bricks.
"If we're quick, perhaps we can..."
There was a sudden crash, as if something had fallen from the roof of one of the buildings towering over the alley. Bernice quickly glanced round the corner at the new commotion. The man in the pinstripe suit appeared to be wrestling another man, wearing nothing but a pair of shorts and some wooden sandals. The gun had been discarded.
"Now!"
Bernice ran out into the alleyway. The man had picked up one of the huge industrial waste units that lined the alley and was slamming it repeatedly into the pinstripe shooter. Bernice was both a little impressed and a little scared. As if in response, the limo sped away, carrying Braxiatel with it.
"Bugger,"
said Bernice. She turned to the pinstripe man.
"Who are you?"
The pinstripe man crumpled into nothing.
"Right,"
said Bernice, turning to the other man.
"So who are you?"
Benny, murmured Jack. "Perhaps it'd be a good time not to talk to the man who just pulverized someone into literally nothing." Bernice couldn't help noticing that the man was out of place with the rest of their surroundings. Topless, toned, and rather dashing, actually. He had a short beard and shoulder-length hair which was drenched with rain. His body was massive and covered with tattoos that moved as if they had a life of their own. The tattooed man sat down on the floor and sighed heavily.
"I mean you no harm. My name is Ulk of the Nith."
Bernice did a double take.
"Pardon?"
A bubble of excitement suddenly grew in Bernice.
"Did you just say the Nith?"
The man looked at Bernice quizzically.
You have heard of us?
Her excitement bubbled over. Have I?
I read about your world back when I was first starting out. Your race is one of the great universal mysteries.
Jack seemed to be feeling left out. Ugh, whatever, he said. The only great mystery I'm interested in is why we're stuck in here. The man sighed. He seemed lost in a world of his own.
I am the last of our kind. As a people, we devoted our time, our whole lives, to understanding how the universe worked.
Not exactly the answer I was looking for, Jack retorted.
Bernice turned to Jack.
The Nith civilization vanished overnight, millions of years ago. No one knows why.
Oh, Jack pulled a face, one of those civilizations.
Millions of years?
Olk laughed bitterly.
Has it really been so long?
Bernice felt a pang of guilt. I'm sorry, I assumed you knew. She patted the tattooed man on the shoulder in a way that she hoped was comforting.
Look, Olk, was it?
Our friend's been kidnapped by those faceless things. Can you help us? Olk smiled sadly.
Yes, I can help, he said. They have taken your friend to it.
It?
Jack was getting agitated.
The Nith were mathematicians, wanderers of the great plains of existence. That was where we found it, hiding in the in-between. It offered us knowledge, and at first we thought it was like us. But we were foolish and naive.
What was hiding?
The crawling chaos. The great shifting worm.
The car journey was annoyingly uneventful. Braxiatel did, however, notice the lack of people in the streets as they flashed past.
If you're driving me back to the White Rabbit, which
I'm guessing you are, as this is the route most people take, I know an excellent shortcut, he said.
Silence. The two thugs were sitting in the front of the vehicle, their backs turned to Braxiatel.
It's quite ingenious, really, he continued. I mean, the streets in here are almost exactly the same as the real Legion City. Well, minus the rain, that is. You know, if I didn't already know this was a hologram, I'd be utterly sold.
He paused.
You do know it's rather impractical to have rain in a domed city, don't you?
More silence. Braxiatel tried the door to his left and found it was secured shut.
Look, I'm an influential man. I'm sure we can come up with some kind of reasonable deal.
Nothing.
No? Fine. Have it your way, I guess.
I won't cooperate, though.
Berating herself for losing Braxiatel, Bernice paced up and down the alleyway. Her headache was still playing havoc with her thought processes, and there was no sign of it passing.
Jack, you wouldn't have one of your famous hangover cures on you, would you?
Jack patted his pockets.
All out, I'm afraid. That bump on the head still hurting?
It will be the interface drawing from you.
Olk stood up.
We must move. The crawling evil is getting ready.
Bernice stopped pacing. Getting ready for what?
And what do you mean, interface?
Olk turned to Bernice. He towered over her, and if it weren't for the softness of his voice, she might have been scared.
Do you know where you are?
He asked. Bernice looked pointedly at Jack, and Jack looked at Olk.
The ad just said it was a hologram cube, Jack said defensively. Perfect for relaxation and entertainment. One of a kind. Buy now for 10,000 credits.
He paused.
I thought it'd bring in new clientele. How much?
Bernice was stunned.
How have you got 10,000 credits?
Jack grinned devilishly, his red eyes glinting in the rain.
Well, I don't. Braxiatel, on the other hand, may have left his credit chip lying around.
Olk coughed.
You were mistaken, pointed one.
Pointed?
Jack was confused. I think he means your ears, Bernice whispered.
You bought a prison. My people sacrificed their lives to trap the crawling darkness inside the pocket dimension in this cube. I am the only one left. I kept the equations going.
Bernice's brain was whirring. I'm not sure this crawling thing is the kind of new clientele Jack was aiming for, she said. Wait, kept? Past tense?
Olk looked sad. Someone channeled power into the cube from an outside source, and it damaged the ritual.
Ah, that would have been me, Jack said sheepishly. I plugged the box into Legion City's power grid.
Why does the pocket dimension look like Legion anyway? Bernice asked.
Because it's broken. The interface draws on memories and builds from fragments.
Whose memories?
Jack asked suspiciously.
Whichever one of you has the nastiest headache, said Olk.
That'll be me,
Bernice slapped her leg, then regretted it.
Of course.
That's why those men look the way they do, with the pinstripes and the limo.
Ha! And the typewriter!
The what? Jack clearly had no idea what Bernice was going on about. I was watching a movie last night. It was a detective story set in a city where it never stopped raining. I picked it up from Earth a long time ago.
How long?
A few thousand years.
Jack raised an eyebrow.
Well, cheers for that, Benny. Love a bit of rain, but can we work towards getting out of here?
He sneezed.
Achoo! Oh, I think I'm getting a cold.
Olk, where would they have taken Brax? The tall man closed his eyes for a moment, and for a second it looked to Bernice as if the rain began to slow. When he reopened them, it carried on just as it had before.
This way. Follow.
Bernice and Jack followed.
The two thugs had dragged Braxiatel into a darkened building and tied him to a chair in the centre of the room. He had to admit that the ropes had been excellently tied. Already the pins and needles were working their way to his hands, which were firmly bound behind his back. When they finally turned on the lights, he was confronted by a nearly identical version of the White Rabbit's bar on Legion. The biggest difference was the huge, shapeless mass that was slowly sliding its way across the floor towards him.
I do hope you intend to clean the floor once you've done sliming all over it, Braxiatel said. It's very hard to find oak flooring in this part of the galaxy.
The worm sniggered, dragging itself closer.
Ah, I do find you ephemeral creatures intriguing.
Its voice was a cacophony of noise, guttural and choppy. Braxiatel winced. Looking at the creature directly hurt his head.
I had thought, well, more hoped, to be honest with you, that your kind were extinct.
Its shape kept changing. From the corner of his eye, not wanting to look directly at it, Braxiatel could see that it had three distinct forms. The first was a bulbous, oozing slug, its body covered with a thousand blinking eyes and just as many gaping mouths. The second, more humanoid in shape, was a faceless man in a golden suit, which shone like one of Legion's suns. Finally, the third, the most bizarre, was a variety of angled shapes floating above one another, twisting and turning through dimensions that most people couldn't comprehend.
Who are you to know of my true nature?
The mouths chattered excitedly.
Oh, me? Said Braxiatel nonchalantly. No one special. In fact, I run a little bar. Oh, look, I have that exact same set of bar stools.
The worm was close enough that Braxiatel could feel its fetid breath on his neck.
Why do you shy away?
It purred.
Am I not beautiful?
Honestly, I've seen many beautiful things in the universe, but I'll have to disagree most wholeheartedly with you on this one.
The worm hissed.
You will learn to admire me soon enough.
Two burning hot hands clasped the sides of Braxiatel's face. It wasn't the first time he had been mentally assaulted, nor would it be the last, but he always made sure he was prepared. Still, he couldn't help but scream as the fight for control began. Another Legion city, this time in the mind of one Irving Braxiatel, who was sitting behind the controls of a 30-meter-tall robot. The robot looked more like a marble statue than a killing machine. Its face was even modelled after its own pilot. The cockpit was plush velvet, all switches and levers, not a touchscreen in sight. He coughed and flicked open the speaker channel.
If you think you can have what you want that easily, then you are sorely mistaken.
From the screens, he could see that the worm had also grown in size. It roared, shattering the glass of the buildings that surrounded them. It shimmered, taking on the form of the floating contortion of shapes and angles.
It screamed, "I will be freed! Give me the equations!"
"You never can tell how a mind battle will play out," said the Braxiatel back in the White Rabbit. "I have to say, even I'm impressed with myself."
More quietly, he whispered. "Perhaps I've been watching one too many holovids with Peter, though. He does like his big guns and A giant spear shot out of the worm and through the shoulder of Braxiatel's excessively ornate robot.
"I'm afraid the answer is no," said Braxiatel firmly. "I'm presuming you were put in here for a very good reason."
His voice echoed out over the city as he pushed the robot forward.
"And I think it should stay that way."
It wasn't until they were halfway there that Bernice realized they were heading towards the White Rabbit. Olk explained that this wasn't a coincidence. When she had entered the Wonderbox 3000, Olk had seen glimpses of her life and mind. As had the worm. This was how the worm knew that only Braxiatel had the knowledge to free it.
"Why my mind?" Bernice asked. "Why not Jack or Brax?"
Olk shrugged. "You were standing closest to the box when it was plugged in. Bloody typical."
"So what are those faceless goons?" Jack asked.
"Fragments," Olk said. "The crawling terror will have absorbed them back into itself. It is using all its energy to burrow its way into your friend's mind. This rabbit you speak of is a safe space for you all? A home?"
"Well, sort of."
Bernice ran her hand through her wet hair. "We spend a lot of time there." "It hopes to relax your friend's mind with familiar surroundings."
"Yeah, well, it doesn't know Brax then."
The final sprint to the rabbit was just that. All around them, the city was starting to dissolve.
"What's happening now?" Bernice panted.
"Your friend is losing the fight," Olk said. Indeed, Braxiatel was losing the fight. Every punch his robot flung at the worm rebounded as if it were hitting a force field. The cockpit sparked as another spike skewered the giant machine. Blood trickled down his face. The door of the rabbit was ajar. Olk stopped Bernice and Jack from rushing in. "The crawling beast may splinter when we enter. Be ready."
"What's the plan then?" said Jack. "If this thing's as bad as you say, we don't stand a chance."
Olk turned to Jack and smiled. The smile put Jack on edge. "The plan is that I distract it," Olk said. "If we break its mental connection to your friend, you can take him and escape. Then, if you all work together, you can make a door back to your world."
"Well, what about you?" Bernice asked.
"I stay." Bernice shook her head. "Not happening. You're the last of the Nith. Do you know how important you are?" "I chose to be trapped in here. Please, you must promise to do something when you get out."
"What?"
"Throw the Wonderbox 3000 into the heart of a sun."
"But you'll die."
"I know." Bernice looked Olk in the eyes. That bad? Yes. He closed his eyes, and in that moment Bernice could see how old he really was. She turned to Jack. Okay, let's go home and unplug this damn thing. I've had enough rain to last me a lifetime. They entered the rabbit quietly and crouched behind the bar to observe the worm. It was humanoid in shape, faceless and shining like a golden sun, and standing behind Braxiatel with its fingers buried in his temples. Braxiatel was clearly suffering.
We've got to do something, Jack whispered.
Alk turned to Bernice.
Remember your promise.
He stood up, and the worm slowly turned its head in his direction and howled. What happened next was over so fast that Bernice struggled to recount it later. The worm shimmered and split into three humanoid shapes. Bernice recognized two of the figures as the pinstriped thugs from earlier. Alk threw himself at all three of them. There was an inhuman scream, and then, where they had all been, was just a swirling pool of energy instead. Braxiatel lay sideways on the floor, still tied to a chair.
Get Brax! Bernice shouted.
The room around them was slowly starting to disintegrate, much like the city outside had. Patches of white noise were filtering through the places where parts of the walls had been. Together they grabbed Braxiatel's chair and dragged it away.
Come on, Brax! Bernice shook him hard. Wake up! Benny, we need to hurry.
Jack was looking at the swirl of energy. It was slowly turning back into four separate figures. Braxiatel groaned, his voice weak.
Benny? Jack? Can you think of a door?
Any door? Asked Bernice.
It has to be the same door.
Okay, then. Let's all think of the door to the White Rabbit. One, two, three, go! For a moment, nothing happened. Then a door slowly began to materialize next to Braxiatel. Bernice grabbed the handle and threw it open. On the other side was a mirror image of the White Rabbit, but instead of the ancient worm, there was Ruth, lovely, friendly Ruth, staring at them in confusion.
Benny?
Her voice was distant. Ruth? Jack had managed to undo Braxiatel's ropes and was now holding him up.
Benny, Ruth, Ruth, Benny, you've met before. Now let's get a move on. But what about Alk?
Turning back, she saw that the worm had solidified into the roaring mass of mouths and eyes from her dream. Alk lay unconscious on the floor.
This is his plan.
With that, Jack pulled Bernice and Braxiatel through the door. Falling through the door could only be described as unpleasant. It was like having a live current run through her body, Bernice thought. She heard the worm roar behind them. It, too, was making its way towards the door. Jack turned to Ruth, who was open-mouthed in amazement.
Unplug the hologram cube, now!
Ruth faltered for a moment before running to the power junction.
But there's no off switch! Rip it out, Bernice yelled. Okay, okay.
Ruth grabbed the Wonderbox 3000. And yanked. There was an almighty crack, the lighting dimmed, and the door dissolved into nothingness. For the briefest of moments, Bernice saw the worm stretch and scream, and behind it, Alk, smiling at her.
Can someone explain what just happened, please?
Ruth asked cautiously.
Long story. Bernice looked at the deactivated box. First things first, we need to get rid of that thing and make sure Jack's banned from Galbay forever.
Hey, no fair!
Jack helped Braxiatel to his feet. Falling through the door hadn't been the most graceful of manoeuvres.
I'm inclined to agree with Bernice, Braxiatel coughed. He looked shattered.
Brax, you should take it easy. Ignoring her, he walked over to the box and picked it up.
Honestly, Bernice, I'll be fine. When you've had one intergalactic monster in your head, you've had them all. Now leave this with me.
He pocketed the box.
Whoa there! I promised to throw it into the heart of a sun. If you think I'm going to leave you with that thing...
Bernice, trust me, will you?
I know just the sun.
Somewhere, somewhen, Two men with identical faces stood watching a sky fill with fire. "If they knew," one of the men began, "then they would never trust me again," the other finished. "Worse, I think Bernice would genuinely kill me. Or should I say us? You know, I don't think we're going to win this one." One man took a small box from his pocket and handed it to the other. "We have to. If it's bad enough to ask me here, then..." He sighed. And with that, he turned and began his long journey back to somewhere, somewhen, called Legion.